Beauty in the rock, water in the stone, then on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need. You got this, honey, in the rock.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to Seek Him Podcast. And Pastor Rob, welcome. It's good to be back with you this morning. And man, the Lord has blessed us with a beautiful week this week and a beautiful day today. And man, it's good to be able to jump on here this morning and maybe bring you a little encouragement. And maybe, but I come today with a question that I'm going to ask you here in just a little bit. And I won't keep you long this morning, but I pray that this podcast today will bring you some encouragement. And I thank the Lord for what the Lord's doing around here and how He's blessing. And don't forget to look at our webpage, hopelesstohope.com, and go on there and check our website out. And there's some information on there that might be able to help you if you're dealing with any kind of depression, grief, anxiety, any kind of addiction, suicidal thoughts, anything like that. That's what this podcast, this website is all about. We want to do everything we can as a church, as a child of God, to let you know that there's somebody else out there that has went through what you're going through, and they want to help you, and we want to help as much as we can. We want to do our part in helping you find freedom, find deliverance, and the first step is finding it through Jesus Christ. And so I'm telling you, I don't care how big your problem is, I serve a big old God, and He can fix anything you're going through, and if you'll trust Him. But don't forget to check our webpage out. But this morning, I want to jump right into where we're going to go this week, and I want to ask you a question, and it's a question that you're probably asked multiple times, but I want you to look at it in a different sense today. We've got some stuff lined up in the next few weeks that looking forward to next week's podcast. I encourage you to tune in. Next week's podcast is going to be a little different. It's going to be after you listen to it, you're probably going to be heartbroken. Guest we've got coming in next week, and it's going to share a story next week. And I pray that through the brokenness of the story that they tell, I pray that it'll put a burden in your heart to want to help. And I'll just leave it there. And, but I encourage you to tune in with us next Friday on our podcast on that. But today I want to come to you and ask you this. I want to ask you, have you ever asked God? I know you have, but what have you asked God the question about? And when you went to Him, you said, why God? You know, over and over and over, I've heard people in the past say that we shouldn't ask God why, that it's wrong to ask God why. And I totally disagree with that. And they might be pastors out there. They might be Christians out here that say, preacher, I don't agree with that. We should never question God. We should never ask God why. That's fine. We all have our opinion. But my opinion, I don't think that there's nothing wrong with us asking God why. And you say, why do you say that? Well, first of all, I want you to look at your kids. What does your kids do? What does your kids do? They asked a question. They asked you a question, and you give them an answer. And what comes after that answer most of the time? Why? You give them another answer, and what comes after that question? Why? Our children are always full of whys. And that's just our nature. That's our character. I mean, because they ask questions of why, because they want to learn. They want to know. And that's why they keep asking why. Sometimes it drives us parents. Sometimes it drives us crazy, and they just keep asking why. But the same boat, you know, I'm so thankful that my kids did ask why, because through their whys, they learned. They was learning experiences through their whys. There's been many times I've asked God why. God, why am I having to go through this? God, why am I facing this? Whether it's losing a loved one, why? Why, God? Why did you? You know, they sometimes I don't understand, and I've got questions of why. Why so many people don't care? Why so many people so blinded to the truth? And why is our country getting in the shape it's getting? And so there's a whole list of whys that we can ask God why. You might be going through some kind of trial, some kind of storm in your life today, and deep down you've asked God why. Well, today I want to come to you today, and I want to challenge you to do something different about your questions of why to God. I want to give you some scripture. I'll give you some scripture first, and then I'm going to give you a challenge I want you to do. Because I believe sometimes that, you know, it's okay if God never, you know, sometimes God's going to answer our why, and we'll see our why on this side. It might not be till we get to heaven that you get the answers to some of your whys. But I believe sometimes that God answers our whys, but the way he answers them, we never see the answer. And so what happens is we go through life and we never, these storms, these trials, these battles we face, we never get past them because we still searching, we searching for answer. If we asked God and God answered and gave us our answer, many of us think that we could get past it, whether it might be losing a loved one. Lord, why did my parent pass away? Lord, why did my spouse pass away? Lord, why did my kids pass away? Why did they go through this? Why, Lord? And if God give us an answer every time for that, you know, we probably wouldn't even accept his answer. We probably wouldn't agree with it. But today I want to remind you something. God has never, not one time, has he ever made a mistake. His way is perfect. I trust in that Bible. I trust in what it says. I trust in him. I don't understand sometimes, but I have to walk by faith. I don't walk by sight. There's a few Bible verses that I want to look at this morning. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but I think we fail to grab a hold of it sometimes. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That right there tells me that I can ask why. That means that I can go to him and say, God, I need some answers. And God, will you help me here. God, I need some direction. I remember a story, and I think it's in John chapter 9, if I'm not mistaken, that the disciples come to Jesus, and they run across a blind man, just paraphrasing, they come across a blind man. And this blind man was blind. The disciples asked Jesus, why is this man blind? They said, did he sin or did his parents sin? And I think this is how Jesus answered the disciples when they asked him why. He says, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. He's blind because there's fixing to be a work that God's going to do. It's going to bring God glory through this man's life. As a child of God, ain't that what we say? God, we want to see your glory. God, use me, use me, use me. I had a second grader this week in our school ask this question. Preacher, can you tell me, I want to know, why did Job have to face all the problems? Why did Job have to face that? Why did God allow all that to happen to Job? A perfect and upright man. Why did God allow that? You know, I don't have all the answers, But I do find out that Satan had to go get permission from God. And matter of fact, I think it was God that brought up Job's name. Have you considered my servant Job? That told me that God had enough of faith in Job that whatever the trial, whatever the storm that come his way, that God had enough of faith in Job that he could make it through it. And I've read the end of the book of Job. I found out that he was blessed more in the end of his life than he was in the first of his life. But he had trials, he had storms, he faced through it. So today I want to ask you to, I want to challenge you to do something. Because through our storms, through our trials, and that we get these questions of why. Many times we ask God why, and we might go on 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months, and might not ever ask him why again on that certain situation. I want to challenge you today to sit down and take a pen and piece of paper, whether you do it today, whether you do it tonight, whether you do it tomorrow, over the weekend. I want to challenge you, and I want you to write, get your pen and piece of paper down, and I want you to think of every question that you've ever asked God why about, and write it down. God, why did I lose that loved one? God, why did my loved one have to go through facing cancer, facing this, facing that? And then I want you to go back after you get through, and I want you to think about it. Think about it hard. Think about every question that you ever asked God why about. And I want you to go back when you get done writing all them whys down. I want you to go back, and I want you to ask yourself that question. And I want you to begin to write down details about that situation that you went through, and see if God has answered your why. Because I believe many times that God answers our why, but it's the answer that we don't want to hear. And what happens is we think God has never answered us. Many times my kids ask me why, I answered them over and over and over and over and over. But the problem of it was they never heard me the first time. And I believe that God gives us a lot of our answers. There's some things that he don't give us answers to. But I believe that he does give us a lot of answers. We must realize that our life as a Christian, that we deny ourselves. When we follow Christ, we deny ourselves. We are to pick up our cross and follow him. And here it is. Through death, when we've experienced death with loved ones, we experience sickness. Most all the time that we focus on the negative side of it. As a child of God, if we lose a loved one on this side and God takes them home, we feel like we've lost them. And you know what? We forget the promise. The promise is that as a children of God, we're going to spend eternity with God. We're going to spend eternity with our loved ones that's gone on to be before us, that was born again Christians. We're going to spend eternity with them. So we ain't lost nothing on this side. It's not a goodbye. It's I'll see you later. So what happens is the devil wants to get in our mind, and the devil wants to cause us to look at everything on the negative side. I've talked to people that they experience sickness and spend time in the hospital and come out of the hospital, and they didn't look at it on the negative side. They looked at it on the positive side, and they told me, said, "Preacher, I know exactly why I went through that. Because you know what? I went through this sickness, and I was up there in the hospital, and there was a nurse come in, and she asked me if I was having a good day, and I began to tell her, well, it could have been a lot worse. I'm up here in the hospital, but yeah, it's a good day. Why? Because I'm a child of God. And because they looked at the situation positive, God put them in that situation because they was a nurse, they was a doctor that was in that hospital that needed to hear the gospel. And they was able to witness to them and win them to the Lord in the hospital room. I've heard story over after story over that. And so what I'm saying is God allows us trials and storms in our life to put us in places that he can do miracles. I've got a few things I want to ask you, and I want you to just think about this. I'll ask you the question. How might God use your current trial to glorify himself? So that's what I want you to do. I want you to not only write your questions of why down, but I want you to write these questions I want to ask you. How might God use your current trial to glorify himself? What I'm going through right now, what I'm facing right now, how can God use it to glorify himself? But preacher, you don't know how sick I am. You don't know what I'm facing. Can I say this? I serve a God that healed the blind. He healed the deaf. He healed the lame. He healed the leopard. I serve a God that he walked up to the grave of Lazarus. And he said, come forth, Lazarus. He called him by name. If he hadn't have called him by name, the whole blessed graveyard would have got up. That God is the same God today. The Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the same God. Our problem of it is our faith. Now, you say, preacher, you believe in this healing? Oh, yeah, I believe in it. I believe what the book of James says, book of James chapter 5. We got to have the faith. The Bible tells us if we had the faith the size of grain of mustard seed, we can move that mountain that stands in front of us. And so our problem is our faith. Pray, God, help me with my unbelief. You know, there's times that I don't feel like I've got a whole lot of faith. But I'm going to trust him in a little bit of faith I do have. So how can God use your current trial, your current circumstance you're going through to glorify himself? The second question I want you asked is this, and these not only I'm asking these questions you, I want you to answer them. How might God use your weakness or your disability to display his power? Think about that. I follow a few guys and follow one guy on Facebook, and he's a professional fisherman. He has no legs. He has no right arm. He has no hands, period. He's got a little nub on his left side. And that joker drives a boat. He drives a truck. He casts a fishing rod better than most people can cast. He catches fish. He reels them in. He don't even have no fingers. And there's one thing, when I publicly talked to him on the phone, there's one thing that he told me. He said, I don't have a disability. He said, I don't look at myself disabled. Even though that I have to be put in a wheelchair, or I get crawl up in a wheelchair and have to go around, or just because I don't have no legs and I have to just pretty much waddle everywhere I go. He said, I don't look at myself as a disability. He said, God created me exactly like he wanted me to. And he said, I'm going to take what God gave me and make the best of it. And you know what he does? He takes a positive attitude. He takes what God's given him and he goes across this country. Not only is he catching fish everywhere he goes, but he's winning fish. He's winning people to the Lord through his testimony, through his life. And you know, he's taking his disability. And we're seeing the power of God used in his disability. The third question I want to ask you, how might God use your hard circumstance to show you something about yourself? How many of you believe that God will take you through a trial, take you through a storm, take you through hard times? Excuse me. I take you through hard times to show you something about yourself. You might be going through hard times in your marriage right now. And you want to know, why is my marriage falling apart? Why did my spouse walk out? Why did my spouse say that we need time? God might be doing that so he can show you a little bit more about yourself and show you what you need to work on. I talked to a gentleman this week, and through talking to him this week, this is what he told me. He said, you know what, I've never been married but one woman in my life. And I said, I told her when I married her, it was the only woman I'd ever be married to, and I would live with her the rest of my life. But one day she walked out. And she walked out and left. And he said, I rented her apartment, and she said that she wanted to leave. And the problem of it was, he said, you know, it took her leaving, it took her walking out to realize who I was. He said, I'd built myself in. All I did all the time was work, 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 work. Leave early in the morning, come home late at night. And he said, by her walking out, through my hard circumstance, it revealed really who I was. The next question I want to ask you is this. How might God use your pain for a purpose? Like I said, how God might use your sickness to win a doctor or nurse to the Lord. Next question, how might God make this mess into a message? The mess I'm going through right now, what kind of message can come out of this? Because at the end of every mess is a message. Most of the time, at the end of every mess, if you allow Jesus to come in, will be a miracle. And then you'll have a miracle and a message. Here's another one. How might God use your current chaos to make you into a man or woman who walks by faith and not by sight? Have you ever been going through chaos in your life and you had nowhere else to turn? And God grew your faith because you felt like you was all alone. You felt like you'd spent all, like the woman with the issue of blood. She spent everything she had at doctors, and nobody could help her. But you know what happened? She crawled through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment, because she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Here's another question. How might God use your situation to show you that true peace is only found in him? How might God use your untimely death? Or how might God use an untimely death to stir the hearts of others and show them the importance of being born again to go to heaven? You know, if we go through Hongwon celebrations and we go through funerals, it's a perfect opportunity to be able to share the love of Christ with family members, because it don't matter what we say at a funeral as pastors. It don't matter what we say at a funeral, a Hongwon celebration. It ain't going to get them to heaven. It's not going to affect where they're going to spend eternity, because they're already there. But what we can do is we can be an effect on the ones that are sitting in the congregation on that day. Multiple times, just a few weeks ago, I did a homegoing celebration for a family I did not really know. And I walked in there and I began to share. I got to meet this woman the last week that she was, just a few days before she went home to be with the Lord. I met her personally for the first time and got to sit down and talk. And she began to tell me how much she loved the Lord and she was ready to go. And I know their family, some of her family was ready for her to quit suffering and quit being in pain. She had congested heart failure and she was in a lot of pain. And But she told me, she said, "Preacher, I'm ready to go." And she said, "I wanted you to come over here. I wanted to ask you, would you do my homegoing celebration?" And she had peace. I could tell, I could see peace in her face. I could see, you know, she had peace about stepping out into eternity. And she told me she was born again. She knew she was a child of God. She knew heaven would be her home. She wasn't scared of death. And so it's exciting as a pastor that I didn't even have to ask these questions. She told me before I ever asked. And so I went to her homegoing celebration, and I'll never forget, as I walked in, and I didn't know nobody, hardly in the family, just a couple people. And I didn't really know which way I was going to go because I didn't know a whole lot about this woman, but I did know that she had put her faith in the Lord. And so I got to that funeral, and I just pretty much, I had some things, what I was going to talk about. And I read the scripture about trusting in the Lord, and we did put all our trust in Him. And I began to talk about that woman and how that she had to put her trust in somebody to take her somewhere that she wanted to go, but the only way that she could get there was put her trust in somebody else's hands. And I was talking about putting her trust in the Lord's hands and trusting Him to be her Lord and Savior. And that's by doing that, having faith and trusting Him, you know, that's why she was ready to go to heaven. And so I used an example about myself. I remember I'd be scared to fly on a plane. I was scared to death to fly on a plane. And I'd always say this, if God wanted me to fly, He gave me wings and I wouldn't get on a plane. And because, you know, there's no such thing as a bump up in a plane. I mean, you, when it goes down, you go down, it's over. But I wanted to go somewhere. My wife wanted to travel. My wife wanted to go out of the country. And the only way to get there was by plane. And so I stepped out on faith, and we went and got plane tickets. And the day that it got closer, I got more nervous, more scared. I had fear in me. I was scared to death. And I'll never forget, I walked down that aisle getting on that plane. And as I walked through the plane, I'd never been on a plane before in my life. And I walked through the door of that plane, and there stood the pilot. And there stood a flight attendant there at the door. And I looked at that pilot. I didn't care the people behind me. I didn't really, well, it didn't matter. There wasn't a whole lot of many people behind me because, you know, the cheapest tickets get on last anyway. And I stopped at the door and I looked at that pilot and I told him, I said, "I've never been on one of these things in my life and I'm scared to death." I said, "But I want you to realize, you know, when I go to that car and I sit down in that seat, I have no control of where I'm going. I have no control how this plane is going to fly or whatever." I said, "But I'm trusting you that you'll get me to my destination. I'm having to put my faith in something that I have no control over, but I'm trusting you to get me there." And I'll never forget. I went back there and I sat down. I was scared to death. We pulled out on a runway and they said, "Fasten your seatbelts." And I ain't never understood why in the world you need to fasten your seatbelt on a plane. Because if that seatbelt, I promise you, that plane goes down, that seatbelt is not saving your life. They got to tell them about flotation devices and oxygen and mass. Man, I was scared to death. We pulled out on that runway, and man, he said he's fixing to take off. And man, he shot the fuel of that jet, and we took off down that runway, and we left the ground. And I looked over at my wife, and I was in shock. I absolutely loved it. And man, we started gaining altitude and got to looking out the window. My wife had to have a window seat, so I'm over in her lap looking out the window, and I'm looking at and seeing things from a different viewpoint. You see, you'll never see things from a different viewpoint until you put your faith in a man named Jesus. I'd have never seen that view until I put my faith in Christ, and He began to take me to new heights. I got on that, so we got to gain an altitude in that plane, and before long, we was flying through the clouds. Wasn't long, we was above the clouds. And by me putting my faith in something that I had no control over, He took me to a place that I'd never been if I had not trusted Him. I never forget, we later on, you know, so then after getting past that fear of flying, me and my wife began to travel every year, begin to go to different places, whether it was Jamaica, St. Lucia, different places. We went to different places, and there was a few times, I'll never forget, we were coming back. I think it was coming back from St. Lucia, and we come around the tip of Florida and coming up the East Coast, and there was a bad storm, and he tried to go around it, but he couldn't. He told us, he said, fasten your seatbelts again. I mean, I'm talking about 30,000 feet in the air and tell you to fasten your seatbelt. I don't understand why. But about that time, we hit some pretty bad turbulence, some pretty bad winds, I reckon, and the plane got to shaking, and it got to being a bumpy ride. And I got just a little bit worried there for a minute because I hadn't ever experienced turbulence. I hadn't ever experienced that bumpiness. But I knew that I had a destination, and that destination, we've headed home. I was ready to get home. I was ready to see my kids. I was ready to see my family. But you know what? I made it. It was bumpy. It was stormy. But I made it. Can I say our walk with Christ is going, it might get a little bumpy and it might get a little stormy. But I promise you, he'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. So today, I want you to write your questions down on why, what you'd ask God. And I want you to begin to look. Has God answered them questions? And we've just been blinded and didn't see that he already answered them. And them questions I asked you, I want you to look at the questions you asked on that paper and then answer the questions that I asked you. Can God take my mess and make a message out of it? Think about it. So today, don't forget these questions. How might God use your current trial to glorify himself? How might God use your weakness or your disability to display his power? How might God use your hard circumstance to show himself something about himself? How might God use your hard circumstance to show you something about yourself? How might God use your pain for a purpose? How might God use your message or your mess for message? How might God use your situation to show you what true peace is all about? Our true peace is found in him. How might God use an untimely death to stir the hearts of others that they might be born again and heaven be their home? I want to say we love you in the Lord. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful Friday. And we look forward to getting back in church Sunday. And just asking God to show up and show out. And so we would love to help if we can help you in any way. If you would message us, if you're looking, you know, if you on our webpage, hopelesstohope.com, in the bottom right hand corner, you'll see a message button. If you need some prayer or if you need some help, reach out and we'll do our best to get up with you. We hope you have a good day in the Lord, and God bless you.
How sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.